Welcome back into the Matt Bubala Show on Radio 720 WGN. I don't know if you've been following the story in the news, but out in Stone Park, there is a gentleman's club, or a strip club, for lack of a better word, called Allure. The different thing about Allure is it is built within feet of a convent. And the nuns are none too happy about this strip club next door that's been there since 2011. But in the last couple of years, they've started filing lawsuits and really trying to organize to see if they can't get this place shut down. Joining us on the phone right now is Thomas Brekka. He's the president and chief counsel with the Thomas More Society, who's been helping represent the nuns. Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm fine, man. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you very much for jumping on the phone with us.
Sure.
Give me a little bit of the history. I know you came in after you heard about this. You guys have come in to help out the convent and represent them. But this is interesting. So the club was built in 2011, but the first lawsuit or the first time they really filed a public motion, I thought, was 2014. Is that right?
Well, it was actually filed, I think, a little sooner than that, Matt. But there were a lot of administrative hearings and so forth before we got into the case. And, you know, the nuns were kind of taken by surprise. They required by law to serve notice, but the notice was by mistake. You know, they claim served mistakenly half a mile away. So the nuns thought this was a restaurant going up, big fancy restaurant, and they were, you know, happy about it. And then the word came out, and a lot of people were upset. There were protests, street demonstrations, and I read a news story about it, and called them up and asked if we could help their lawyer. We're kind of a national public interest law firm, and we thought they could use some help. They said, well, we don't have a lawyer. We couldn't afford one. It's a Midwestern headquarters for a group of nuns that, you know, helps migrants. And, of course, this used to be a very Italian community, and now it's mixed with a lot of Hispanic immigrants.
Okay.
So they needed help, and we were happy to come into it and help them and figure out some legal theories, and, you know, and we took action.
Well, one of the things I've read is that there was a complaint, and Melrose Park jumped in on this lawsuit, too, because the nuns, the convent, is it actually cross borders? Are they partly in Melrose Park and partly in Stone Park?
That's right, man. They straddle the border. The club is in Stone Park within 2 feet of the nuns' backyard fence, and the part of their yard is in Stone Park, but the main part of their buildings is in Melrose Park. So This is one of the issues in the case.
So one of the complaints is a zoning violation, but has that been dismissed? I've read that they complained about a zoning violation, but that doesn't seem to have gotten anywhere. So is that part over with? Is that...
Well, it's not over with because, you know, if we lose the rest of the case, we don't think we're going to, but if we do, we'll take an appeal. We think our argument about zoning was accurate. The judge disagreed with us because he said it was a home rule municipality, which means the state law is superseded. We say, oh, no, home rule doesn't apply when you're impacting somebody on the other side of the municipal border. And, you know, that's what happened here. This is against the public policy of Melrose Park. So we'd say the 1,000-foot buffer zone that state law imposes should be enforced.
What is the 1,000-foot state law?
Well, it's within no adult establishment, and there's not much question this qualifies in that regard.
Yeah.
If you read our complaint, it can't be within 1,000 feet under state law of a... Among other things, places of worship. And the nuns have 3 regularly used chapels in their headquarters. You know, they've also got a retired nun's home. It also applies to schools. There are schools within 1,000 feet. So that's why Melrose Park has a stake in this, too, as well as some neighbors. So we have other clients here besides just the nuns.
Interesting. And Stone Park, though, is not helping out in this case, right? I mean, Stone Park is helping defend the club, correct?
Yes, absolutely. They're not cooperating at all. The mayor, who's going to preside over a liquor hearing this coming Tuesday, frankly, is very hostile to the nuns. He's threatened them. He refused them a permit to have their Stations of the Cross, a religious ceremony out on the street that was, he said, too close to the club. So, in a sense, he applied a buffer zone against the Dutch. They were bothering the
well,
club.
If they're in Stone Park, can't they do what they, or if they're in Melrose Park on their property, can't they do what they want?
Well, you know, we say no, the law says no, and we want the law enforced. And, you know, there are, I mentioned the neighbors, there are backyards and private residences that go up against this club, too, with swings and playgrounds in the backyard. So these families, they want a decent, you know, a nice family neighborhood, and here this big thing is reared up right across their backyard fences. So.
Well, Tom, why haven't, you know, if they're, and it looks like from the pictures I've seen, I haven't been to Club Allure, just so you know. I might have to pay a visit after this interview just for research, Tom. But
yes.
It looks like there's, if it is surrounded by residential, as it seems, why haven't you gotten more families to sign on and get more of a groundswell of not only the nuns, but the neighborhood to rise up and say, hey, this is a neighborhood. This should not be in our backyard.
Well, we have, Matt, got quite a few folks signed on to the liquor complaint who are living in Stone Park proper. And, you know, there is a question about immigration status from some of the people. The mayor has threatened to take action, and we've retained immigration counsel. And when you're a witness in an ongoing proceeding, you're protected against deportation. So, you know, it's they're playing dirty, frankly, and the good guys this time are fighting back.
So you're saying that the mayor of Stone Park has alleged that if people want to jump on this bandwagon, then he's going to look into them and see if there's something he can do to make their lives tougher.
Well, I think worse than that. In fact, they had flooding, and the you know, the Tribune Spanish edition, Hoy, wrote a story about it not that long ago. And the mayor had gone in and gotten flood aid on prior occasions where they had floods. This time he said, no, we're not going in for aid. Instead, we're going to, in effect, condemn your property and offer to buy your homes for $5,000 a piece. That's a pittance and an insult, and obviously a move meant to intimidate these families.
Very interesting. One question I guess I would have with the zoning issue is you mentioned that the nuns were happy when they thought a restaurant was going in. That would still be the same zoning issue, wouldn't it? A business establishment going in a residential area, or is it falling under different zoning issues?
Oh, no. The zoning law is targeted at adult entertainment establishments.
Okay.
And that's a separate zoning category. A restaurant would be a family-friendly place, you know,
sure,
for the economy in Stone Park.
Sure, it wasn't about business then. It was about adult-themed business and the laws that pertain to that.
You got it.
Okay.
It's not only adult-themed, but we say it goes way beyond Illinois law. And frankly, you know, the question is prostitution? Well, the Illinois Appellate Court ruled that it was. And, you know, we think that's binding on the court. So we're not going to argue about this. We're going to say, Judge, I think the law here is clear.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then, Tom, I want to ask you to get into that a little bit, because not only are the nuns annoyed that, you know, there's a basically a house of ill repute right behind them, depending on your definition of ill repute, but they think that more is going on than just dancing and that there are other illicit activities. They've had nuisances, not just noise, but actually people showing up on their property. Tom will explain all that and explain the law and how he thinks that the judge will hopefully see it their way. Right after we take a quick break. Matt Bubala with you, Radio 720 WGN. It's Matt Bubala here with you, Radio 720 WGN. We're speaking with Tom Brekka. He's the president and chief counsel with the Thomas More Society, and he's helping out the Missionary Sisters of St. Charles Borromeo, who are suing to get Club Allure in Stone Park closed down. One of the reasons, Tom, so there was mention that one time they're having 6:45 a.m. mass, and that's just the nuns, right? It's not, do they host, they don't hold public mass, I'm assuming, correct?
Well, they do.
They do,
they have
okay.
Sunday mass there, and but I think this was a daytime mass, and I don't know if there were neighbors who attended or not.
Right.
You know,
but
they have kept the door locked since this incident.
Yeah, the nuns are holding mass. Some guy comes stumbling in from Club Allure, sounds like, and he claimed, it said in the paper, that he thought he got drugged at the club.
Well, Well, that's what he thought, and, you know, whether we could prove it or not,
sure,
is another matter.
Right.
But, that's the kind of thing, you know, that's just one incident that's particularly egregious. But apart from that, there have been fights, there have been brawls, both inside the club, reported on police reports, outside in the parking lot. There's been drug use, there's liquor bottles around. It's the kind of thing that, you know, doesn't belong in the vicinity of a residential neighborhood where kids are being raised, going to school, and so forth. And again, I think that's why the zoning law was passed. I think the judge should enforce it. He disagrees with us on that, but we don't think he's going to disagree on the prostitution issue, which we've researched. We've sent investigators in there, and, you know.
And let's go into that a little bit. So you guys had an investigator go there over the last, I think it was 12 to 14 months. He spent $1,200. I'm not going to make the jokes about how did you get that job for this guy, whatever. I'll let that go, Tom. If I had their lawyer on, that's the joke I'd make, but because you have to be respectful. So
yes.
This guy goes in and out, probably gets the lap dances, different things like that, sees what's going on in there, and
right.
He claims that one worker there offered to have sex with him outside of the club for $250. So there's a prostitution offer there. But also, you mentioned that the lap dancing you guys feel rises to the level of prostitution. Now, I know that we've had these types of clubs in Illinois for ever since I turned 18. I've known they've been around, so that's a long time. And
mm-hmm.
These dances occur. We all know that. So why do you think it should be defined as prostitution?
Well, because the Illinois law says it is. The Illinois law, you know, I don't want to get beyond anybody's rating restriction here, but it's touching or fondling of the sex organs of one person by another for money for the purpose of sexual arousal or gratification. Now, you know, we interpret that to mean that it applies whether people are clothed or unclothed.
Or not, yeah.
And in this case, you know, we're not the only ones who think that. So does the Illinois Appellate Court, and the only court in Illinois at the appellate level to address this issue. And they said it means what it says. Clearly, the legislature sought to prohibit any commercial transaction in which one person stimulates another person's sex organs for the purpose of sexual arousal. A sex organ need not be exposed to be stimulated. Thus, it unambiguously prohibits, and I'm quoting here, every kind of touching. So,
if you succeed in this, Tom, you're going to get lap dancing banned in the state of Illinois.
Well, we're not attacking every place. We're attacking this one because they were stupid enough and brazen enough to locate it across the backyard fence from a convent. You know, come on. And they know what they were doing, and they tried to slip it past these nuns. And that's why, frankly, we're very happy to have found out about it. The Better Government Association publicized it, so did the media, the Tribune, and the Sun-Times. We found out about it. They didn't have a lawyer, so that's why we called up, and they were happy to have our help. And then Melrose Park called up. They joined us. So did all these neighbors. And so we think we have, Frank, you know, yes, the judge ruled against us the first time, but as Yogi said, it isn't over till it's over. And if we lose again, we're going to appeal.
Well, let me ask you, Tom, have the nuns looked at this at all as maybe an opportunity? Because if you close this club down, it reopens elsewhere. And here are all these women working in a role that I don't think any of us would hope our daughters would grow up to. And we'd all hope that these women who are dancers, maybe that's their choice. Maybe that's what they really want to do. They're making great cash, whatever. But we would hope for better things for them in life.
Well, that's right.
Have the nuns tried to talk to the girls that work there at all, or be present, or try to offer them counseling or help to, you know, get their life headed in another direction?
Well, here's what we've done, Matt. We've been in touch with many women's organizations. There's a woman named Annie Donawald who wrote a book called Dancing for the Devil. She has a Christian rescue outfit. There's the Salvation Army that does a lot of work here. A colleague of ours, Liz Yore, a lawyer that worked for the Department of Children and Family Services and then worked with Oprah, is an authority on sex trafficking in the you know, the literature and the evidence is that these are places where sex trafficking flourishes. Consent is not a defense to a charge of sex trafficking. And frankly, we've urged that, you know, somebody file a lawsuit because these women have to pay to work there. They have no minimum wage. They have no overtime. The working conditions are really terrible, and it's degrading. And I think that, yes, the nuns are anxious to do what they can to help. Now, these are traditional nuns who wear a full habit. I don't think they'd be welcome going into the strip club. And if you saw the pictures, it has a big setback from Lake Street, so that there's a big parking lot, and they're not going to get anywhere close to the door, much less to appeal to these women, and the cars go steaming by. They do have rosary processions outside the club, candlelight vigils. You know, if women contact them, I'm sure they would offer every bit of help they can.
Tom,
I think our best bet is through the groups that address these subjects specifically.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, I wish you luck. I think you face an uphill battle with the ways you're fighting this. I think the way you fight this is you hurt them economically. And they've got bigger pockets than the nuns have and more resources, and they're going to keep spending, and they've got Stone Park behind them. So you said, oh, the nuns wouldn't get in there. Why not? Because that's your lawsuit. The nuns all show up in full habits, pay the entry fee, and go sit in there. And when they're sitting in there, that's going to make it really tough for guys to come in and sit with the nuns and watch women dance. There's a lot of guys, I think, and then you affect them economically, and suddenly they're willing to play ball or talk to you guys, because once the cash stops coming in, that's when Club Allure starts listening, right? And I think let's get creative and find different ways to you know, hurt if you want to change these things, because otherwise, eventually they open somewhere else. But while that gets the nuns peace in their backyard, they didn't affect the change that I think they'd really like to affect, you know?
Well, frankly, I think the publicity about it, as you say, if we win here, we set a precedent. I think others will follow suit. I don't think the strip clubs are winning every case the way they used to. You know, they claim First Amendment, but First Amendment protects speech, not conduct. It's certainly not the conduct of acts of prostitution. Further, you mentioned they have more money than the nuns. That's true, but our last case, Matt, three trips to the U.S. Supreme Court lasted 28 years, and we came out on top. So we've got staying power, too, and we don't intend to quit until we win.
Excellent. Well, Thomas Breca, President and Chief Counsel with the Thomas More Society. You can find out more at thomasmoresociety.org. They're a nonprofit public interest law firm. He said the Christian version of the ACLU, you could sort of think of them as. I appreciate you coming on and talking through this with us, and we'll be interested in following where this ends up.
Well, we'll find out soon enough. Thanks, Matt.
All right, Don. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Matt Bubala here with you. Radio 720 WGN. 15 minutes left in our show. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio here in the historic Tribune Tower on the Magnificent Mile, where the flags across the United Nations Plaza are oh so gently blowing, and what's going to be a beautiful weekend. Roger, I don't know if you stayed in touch there during the last half hour as we talked to the lawyer representing the nuns. He is trying to claim that the lap dances should be illegal, that it's in itself a form of prostitution. And he read for us the definition, and it's, you know, arousing sexual gratification, yada, 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 and whether that's through touching clothes or not. Texter writes, don't you need to use your hands to fondle?
No.
I never had thought of it, but you don't think so?
Any part of your body.
Can fondle?
Yeah. It's the touching.
Touching, rubbing is fondling?
Yeah.
So there you have it. So if they succeed and they say take this to the Illinois Supreme Court and get them to rule, because he says an appellate court has already ruled this, he believes that the lap dancing does constitute this, they're going to ruin the adult entertainment industry in the whole state.
Gasp.
Yeah, I don't know what that would do to our tax base. Probably not much, but. You know, but I really do. I suggested it to him at the end. Suing them, he's going to get so far. But, you know, everybody's wasting money on lawyers. why not? I don't. If I were the nuns, I would say, okay, let's just go over there every night. Let's go over there, get 20 nuns all in the full habit and the whole deal, and let's go sit in the club. Can you imagine being out with your buddies and you walk into this,
right?
And there's nuns in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at first, you might be like, oh my God, this is going to be crazy.
Right.
But then when they're all serious and just sitting there and not like, you know, partying and drinking.
Make you pull out the prayer book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you're just looking like, oh my God, there's nuns watching me. I can't just sit here and throw money at this. That would, I think that.
Right.
And then if the club tries to turn them away, then they sue the club for that. There's a lawsuit.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah, yeah,
the club's got to let them in, I would imagine. As long as they're willing to pay the cover charge.
Sure.
And they're legal. Can't turn them away.
There's no restrictions that know of. Now, I've never been to any, so I don't know
exactly.
Maybe
before next week's show, we just, you know, take a visit out
there. A little fact-finding tour.
So things are, and, you
yeah,
know,
who knows?
Report on this with a little more in-depth information.
I'll put blinders on.
Sure you will. But, you know, I really feel that I asked him this question. I wonder if they should look at this like, I don't know, maybe this sounds silly, but God put this here for us to do something about.
Yeah.
Not to just sue them till they leave, because that means they're just going somewhere else.
And it's costing a lot of money, too.
Yeah, and the nuns don't have the money to fight it.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
These guys are doing it, I think, pro bono.
I'm just wondering, here's another thing. Are the nuns doing this by themselves? Where's the community?
Well, he said that there were three other family signed up, and I asked him, well, what about everybody else if this is around this many houses? He claimed that it's a heavily immigrant area, and that's what these nuns help a lot with, is people who've just come to the country, things like that. And that's a lot of the work they do. He says the mayor of Stone Park, so the nuns convent is partly in Melrose Park and a little bit in Stone Park, but the club itself is in Stone Park. But he was saying, listen, there's a rule in Illinois that a adult entertainment establishment like that has to be 1,000 feet away from houses of worship, schools, things like that. But because it's in Stone Park, the ruling on that was home rule. Stone Park can do what they want. If 1,000 feet away is Melrose Park, well, that doesn't count against them. Something along those lines. That's why they haven't been able to get away with that.
Right.
But so the nuns have this right here in their backyard. I would say, you know, instead of just suing to move them, which just means somebody will be taken off their clothes somewhere else, why not try to affect change? Try to help these girls, try to do these things and see where you can get. But so the mayor, I'm sorry, I was saying that the mayor, so Mr. Brock is alleging that the mayor of Stone Park has threatened the families in the neighborhood that if you push back on this, if you send petitions, do whatever, I'll make sure we're looking into everybody's legal status.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it's getting a little ugly.
I say they hold services there on Sundays, that they have the ladies of the establishment serve as ushers during the services.
What outfits are they wearing?
Huh?
What
outfits? Oh, no, fully clothed, fully regular.
See, if
no
they
tassels.
Wore like the altar boy outfit, then everybody the whole time be thinking they're going to take that off at some point. This is going to get crazy.
Yeah, well, and that's how you fool them. That's how you fool the guys.
That's,
come on in. Oh, wow.
That's
this
how
is
you
cool
get them
gimmick.
Back in the pews, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what they ought to do. Team
there
up.
You go.
All right, you can stay, but you got to usher the mass on Sundays.
And how do you get the girls to do that? Here's how you do it. You have the nuns, like you said, during the week, sit in there, and they hold up pictures of the girls' sainted mothers and just embarrass the heck out of them.
Do that to the girls?
Yeah, to the strippers. Yeah, or your sainted grandmother.
See, I think, and he mentioned that, you know, in prostitution rings, they often go after the Johns now instead of the girls working. And I think that's a good way to do it. Because if you arrest, when you arrest the prostitute, if there's guys out there willing to spend money, somebody else is going to be performing the service, right? It's getting...
You go after the business owner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go after the cash. That's what'll change things.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a sad situation, but